In November of 2023, the Swell Pod took a 10-day journey across 5 states, traveling 3,580 miles with one challenge in mind.
And that challenge was to interview 100 pleasantly rebellious humans to uncover deep truths about what it takes to create something that has never existed before, challenge the status quo, maybe even change the world.
This is the Kiln Road Trip, created and produced by The Swell Pod.
In partnership with Kiln, Moterra Camper Vans, and sponsored by Taurus.
I'm Spencer McEwen.
And I'm Josh Taylor, and together we're the co-hosts of The Swell Pod and your guides on the Kiln Road Trip. Follow along on the journey.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, follow The Swell Pod on social media, and subscribe to your YouTube channel at, you guessed it, The Swell Pod.
This is interview 30 of the Kiln Road Trip, and today we're at Kiln Lehigh talking with Ben Peck. Ben is the co-founder of Front Utah, which provides inspiration and training for UX designers and product managers. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. We hope you enjoy.
Ben, could you introduce yourself, your name, of course, as well as what you do?
Yeah, so I'm Ben Peck. I am a product and design leader here in Utah, mostly born and raised here in Utah, and have lived most of my life here. Spent a stint in New York, but came back recently in the pandemic. Yeah.
Awesome. And where do you work right now? What company are you with?
So I am not currently with a full-time company. I run my own conference called Front, which is a UX and product design conference. And I also run a nonprofit organization called Product Hive. We have about 10,000 members in it.
I know both of those very well. Yeah.
Very cool. And we interviewed Brandon just yesterday, or whatever day it was, who I think was also part of
Brandon Gardner. Wonderful.
So he gave us some seeds to plant along on our journey.
Yeah, absolutely. With Sembrar. I love it.
That's right. Yep. Sembrar. So we'll dive into what's driving you and what you're trying to build in a moment. But tell us a bit about your past, or whether it's growing up or your passions and what led to product design.
Yeah. So I got into design through animation. Rewind to like 2006. I really wanted, Toy Story was coming out. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go into animation, and that was like my driver. So I went to school at Utah State. The animation director actually was on sabbatical and ended up finding graphic design. The graphic design teacher was taking over his class and found graphic design. History was from there. I mean, I went into early stage, I spent the first 5 years in design studios and agencies doing corporate websites, the Utah Symphony, Deer Valley Resort, things like that. And then I was very much a hybrid designer developer and kind of got sucked into the software design realm for that. So I started at my first tech company called Experticity, which is now Expert Voice, like a sales software for retail sales,
right?
Training software. And then I spent some time at Instructure doing higher education software, built an app for parents to kind of help them monitor their kids' schooling. Spent some time at a couple startups, Needle and Jane.com, here close by, in the e-commerce space, sales chat software, the kind of two-sided marketplace of small businesses. And then I've spent the last 4 years at a company called Seismic, building their team from 8 designers to 33. And just have really enjoyed the space.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
That's quite a resume there. You are speaking to, of course, a product designer.
I wear a lot of hats. I started trying to make films. Found myself in design, illustration, and then found myself in product management.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, the journey into product or design is an interesting one. Like, everyone has a unique story.
Yeah, for sure.
That's good. And how about your just kind of influences growing up, your family or your siblings, or what influence did they have on you? for this, interesting, where you've ended up, you know?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, my dad's just like a contract painter. So, and my mom was very artistic. She did like toll painting and things like that. My sister was very much an artist, yeah. And I really kind of just drew to artistic things. I worked for my dad for like 6 years as a painter, yeah. And he just like, after years of complaining, he's like, "You're not suited for painting. You're suited for a desk job." So I told him I was going to go into college and I was going to study art. And he just was like, kind of rolled his eyes. And he's like, "Okay, I'll have a job for you when you get done. But I want you to go to college," because he didn't graduate from college. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what got me into like the realm of design. Mm. I was always really fascinated with computers, and personal computers were very new. And when I was really young, and kind of just played around with it, and still to this day, I'm like the tech guy in the family that fixes things mm-hmm. for you. But yeah, that's really what influenced me into getting into design. I thought going out of college, I'd go to New York, work at a magazine company, do branding for big name mm-hmm. Brands, and found myself in veering into like the web design space. And it was very early on. So I got to ride that ride of standardization of the web and influencing websites and usability and all of that. And it just really fascinated me, that kind of blend between design and development.
Yeah, very good. Well, I was going to ask you just to talk about why 7 years, I'm going to guess now, 7 years ago, you started Product Hive. Why did you start it, and how did that evolve to create what you've created today?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. So it's been 10 years. I don't want to correct you or anything.
I stopped correcting your story.
Yeah, it's been 10 years now, which has been really crazy. So when I first got pulled into my design job at a software company, I was very much like a marketing designer, and I knew how to develop. The CTO was working with marketing designers to design for the application, and he just didn't really like what they were doing. Mm. They didn't understand how it was being developed or how to think systematically. So he hired somebody like me, who was kind of a blend between the two. Mm. And that's when the term UX started to become more of a term and a role and a responsibility. I think I was a UI developer when I first started. And honestly, I just didn't know how to like do what the industry was defining as UX. And so I went searching for an organization. At the time, we were like a small IXDA organization. We decided to change that to Product Design Association, so that, because we had a lot of product people that wanted to learn things. So it was really a selfish thing of like, I want to go learn how to do my job better. And I said, okay, I'll run some events. They were running events down in Utah County. I was running, we were 20 people. It was just lunch events. Yeah. And I started running events, and then I just haven't stopped really. Mm. We did it for about a year and a half. We realized people wanted to learn what other people were doing within their companies.
Yeah.
How they were doing it. And so we would just invite them to come share that story. And everybody rallied around that. When we had about 1,500 employees, community members, we started Front, which we wanted to. At the time, we just didn't have a lot of conferences inland or in Utah at all. And so we started the Front Conference, and it's grown from there. We've done it, the conference and the workshop series, now 8 years.
So. Yeah, that's great. I've got more questions, but
I remember the first time I heard about Front, actually, Denise, who is a product designer,
we were thinking about going to a conference, and she sent me the link to the website, and I was like, oh man, maybe we should go check this out. And that was a couple of years ago, but yeah. What are some of the lessons you've learned growing your community and building it up to where it is now?
I've realized over time that people just want to talk to other people in the industry. They really want to understand what they're doing, how they're trying to do it. There's books out there. There's best practices that have been defined. But then there's current reality. There's like idealistically, this is how it should be done. And then this is how it is being done. Mm-hmm. And people can see through the idealistic world of like, oh, that's nice. It'd be great to get there, but how are you doing it now? And how is that going? And I think that has been a huge understanding of what the community is looking for. And I think our community has been very successful in the sense of gathering people is because it's been open and free to anyone at any level looking for opportunities to continue their education.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, you mentioned how a lot of it was just kind of started from, you know, your own kind of need for information, right? And I'm interested now, you know, as your community has gotten so much larger, you know, how are you providing the community with the things that they want, you know, the things that they feel like they need, and how are you understanding their voice and what they're looking for?
Yeah, when it was a lot smaller, it felt a little bit easier to just like gather people's information at different events.
Yeah.
Now we do big surveys of like, what is it that you're looking for? Is what we're doing still providing value to you? Mm. Is there anything that we're missing? So we get a lot of information in that realm. A lot of interest right now in understanding salaries, understanding value that they're adding and providing to businesses. I think through the pandemic, people went through a lot of self-reflection of like what they really want to do and who they want to work for. And I think that has been an interesting trying to understand that from them, because when we went all remote, the aspect of just being able to talk to people went away, and most of it turned into a talking head instructing them on a screen. And I think we learned a lot of things from people wanting to connect with other people, not just learn from a story, but there's both sides of it. And how do we provide that to people?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great.
What is your, I mean, that's a challenge where you had that was your biggest challenge, right? In COVID during that period. What is the biggest challenge now, and what's your vision for, you know, a few years from now?
Yeah,
I think part of our challenge right now is really getting people back out to those events that want to be at the events, and those that don't, how do we continue to provide the resources and support and value to them in addition to what we normally have been doing? So I think it took us a while to learn how to provide, or what we should provide outside of our standard in-person events. We get a lot of value from these stories that we find. I think a lot of front aspect of those events are curating specific stories and finding the value of the process that they're going through. And I think our biggest challenge right now is just getting people out. Well, actually, right now, our biggest challenge is professional development budgets. I think a lot of tech companies have cut those budgets because of financial challenges of the industry at the moment. And then how do we get creative in continuing to provide them valuable resources outside of not having as big of a budget to to go to events like a conference or a workshop series.
Yeah, and that's gonna, I mean, they're gonna come back, but it's like, what do you do in the meantime?
Yeah.
And you're getting creative.
Or what can we add on additionally that people that regularly don't have budgets? I think one of the big values of Front and one of the big success stories of it, mm-hmm. is that of the 800 people that would come to the conference, 550 of them were from Utah. Mm. So having a localized place to go to cuts your budget down. You don't have to travel to a new location. And that's why a lot of people came to our conference. Mm. We want to obviously support the local community, but we also nationally or internationally as well. Mm-hmm. And just finding adjacent value adds, I think, is important for us.
Yeah.
Before we get into the rest of the episode, we want to thank the partners and sponsors who made the Kiln Road Trip possible. The Kiln Road Trip is brought to you by Kiln. Kiln is a boutique co-working and flex office community with 13 locations in 6 states across the West, dedicated to providing innovative workspaces that empower your team to thrive. Whether you're a solo visionary or an enterprise-level team of up to 100, Kiln transcends being merely a place to work. It's a hub for learning and connecting with like-minded professionals that will make you and your team love where you work.
And if you haven't stepped foot inside a kiln yet, you really need to. On this road trip, we visited every single location, and trust us when we say, once you see these beautifully designed spaces, meet the talented team, and connect with fellow members, you won't want to work anywhere else.
Locations include Utah, Colorado, Idaho, Oregon, California, and Arizona. And they're growing too, with multiple locations set to open in 2024.
Yeah, so be sure to check out the kiln locations nearest you by booking a tour at kiln.com and answer SWELL in the question, how did you hear about us? Once you complete the tour, you'll be entered into a competition where you could win a 1-year membership, their club membership at Kiln.
Yep, you heard that. That's kiln.com. Book a tour and be sure to mention SWELL in the question, how did you hear about us?
The Kiln Road Trip is also brought to you by Motera Campervans, a luxury campervan rental company for iconic road trips. Their top-of-the-line vans are available at 7 locations located near America's best outdoor adventure destinations. They have consistently earned the highest customer ratings in the industry, making Motera Campervans your gateway to adventure without sacrificing on comfort or service.
That's true, and initially we wanted to take this journey in a 1960s VW bus, but thankfully we found Motera instead. With 3 van options, we took the Pop Top Classic, which sleeps 4 and is best for those who want to maximize floor space and storage. This was critical for us because it needed to sleep the entire crew, we needed space to edit, and we were traveling with large amounts of equipment, luggage, and, you know, other goodies that we picked up along the way.
And this van took us through all 3,580 miles of the trip, super comfortable and sweet to drive.
And actually, Motera offers fully planned itineraries if you'd rather leave the planning to someone else.
Visit gomotera.com/swell. That's gomotera.com/swell.
This episode is also brought to you by Taurus. Taurus is leading the charge in home energy storage. Taurus makes it easy to achieve energy independence and a greener tomorrow. The Taurus Station provides everything you need to generate clean power, efficiently store electricity, and easily manage your energy use.
And installing a Taurus Station offers plenty of benefits, including save money on your electricity bill.
Also, ensure energy security with backup power during outages.
Reduce carbon emissions with renewables.
You can also automate EV charging and HVAC systems with 100% renewables.
And enjoy unrivaled system monitoring and support.
If you like the sound of those benefits, get a quote to build your Taurus station in less than 30 seconds. Super easy at Taurus.co. That's Taurus.co. Now, let's get back to the episode.
That's great.
I think, if one of the last questions that we like to ask, everybody get their all these different perspectives on this question, but what does it take, in your opinion, to take an idea? So in your circumstance, like what eventually became this community, and create a movement. What does that take from your point of view?
Time for me, it was time and a willingness to not get any benefit out of it right mm-hmm. away, like mm-hmm. financial benefit.
Right.
I think what was really beneficial for our community was just putting in effort towards helping one another. And that really drove the community together, that these people are there to help one another. And just staying super focused on what we wanted to accomplish. So we wanted to focus in on learning around product and UX. And there was a lot of ancillary or outside sources coming in to say, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to focus on. And we just kind of
stayed true
to what we thought was the most valuable thing for us.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's great.
I love it.
I still remember the day, because there's a lot of designers out there that do like freelance work on the side to kind of boost their creativity and whatnot. Yeah. But I still remember the day I went to my wife and said, honey, I'm going to stop doing freelance work. And I'm going to focus on this thing that I'm not going to make any money on. Yeah. Can you support me on it? And to today, like all the value that I've gotten from connections and new jobs has come from this community. If I've not, outside of the financial gains of it, but in the growth of the organization.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And I'm sure you're not the only person, right? You're one of actually many, many people in the community that have also created those opportunities or new relationships that have led to some great things. Any last remarks or things how people can connect with you or get involved?
Yeah, so I don't know. Check out producthive.org and frontutah.com for the conference and the workshop series. And then, I mean, hit me up on, what is it, the X now?
Yeah.
And
not the X, but just X.com.
Yeah. And then LinkedIn. Yeah. I will respond to pretty much everyone. So
thanks for tuning in to today's episode of The Kiln Road Trip. Be sure to follow along on the rest of the journey. And you can do that in two ways. One, subscribe to the podcast, whether you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or maybe even watching on YouTube. And follow along on all of our social media platforms, whether you're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or TikTok, @TheSwellPod. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next episode.